Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. This is James, pastor of the Jerusalem church that's been upended, and all of his congregants are now out there, scattered. And he says, you need to steadfastly hope for the grace that is going to be brought to you. Think about that. He says, hope for the grace that's going to be brought to you. You're out there. What am I going to do? You're going to get some hands on your arms to steady you. Do you want Jesus that near? Do you want him that near? That's pretty cool. Three Hebrews couldn't find Jesus more than they found him in the furnace. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. That's what his words were of encouragement. Why? Because you are a holy nation. And these were Jewish people. And my point is this. He's talking to them, but inadvertently to the entire church. But to them specifically, this would have interesting meaning. We already were the people of God. We already were the Jewish people. We were already a nation. And so they would have a little bit of a struggle with trying to, okay, nation, what, huh? We're out here in, the Gentile world. How are we a nation now? Because you are citizens of heaven, Philippians says. Citizens of heaven. You are the kingdom of God on the ground. If you go into a foreign country, you go to the embassy of the United States, that is designated as the property of the United States. Anybody who assaults the property of the United States is assaulting the whole nation. So it is with you. You're in the kingdom of God. You're a holy nation. For these guys, they're going to have to take a minute to unpack that because they already were a people. And I don't know if they had read Paul's words, but Paul would write them and they'd be circulating and eventually they'd be able to parse it a little bit more deliberately in being reminded that not everyone who was from Israel was of Jacob, whose name was Israel. Not everybody who was from Israel were of Israel. You see, he's trying to tell them, listen, just because you're a descendant doesn't mean that you have the same quality of faith. It says in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Isaac had the faith that Abraham had. And Isaac passed it on to Jacob. And Jacob took it and Esau kind of missed the boat on that. And he kind of catapulted it forward. And here we are today. And people call it Israel because he became that one who had 12 tribes and gave birth to the entire thing. And now we have 12 tribes of Israel. And they would know that now. And they would understand that now. They were the holy nation now, including Jews and Gentiles both. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? There's always been divisions among people, whether it's color or nationality or creed or whatever. People have always had that. But Jesus fixes it all. When we come under the umbrella, we're one nation under God, really, truly. Not like in this country, like we say it, but we don't necessarily get it anymore. But it's always true for the believers, right? We are one nation under God. It's called the kingdom of God on earth. And we bring it, and it's going to dawn in its fullness in the millennium. But what we're seeing, he's telling them something very significant. Everything he said is a significant thing, right? Why? Because you need to know who you are. If you were bequeathed a bank. You own the bank. Because somehow some great uncle was a guy and he didn't have anybody else. And he looked through his genealogy. There's a guy. I'll give it to him. You're nobody. You're just a guy going to work every day, punching the clock, whatever. And all of a sudden you are the one who owns the bank. That means you can go anywhere in the bank. You might walk in a little reluctant. May want to just be gracious and not be too bold. But once you get the full story from the lawyer, it's yours. You walk in there. You can go in the vault and look around. Yeah, money's not all yours, but you see my point. It's like this with you and me. We are God's people. And if we know who we are, we don't have to worry about what anybody thinks about us. Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. So he didn't pull any punches, right? He didn't pull a punch. He didn't say, I'm not going to hit you in the gut. I'm going to give you what you need to know. They're going to hate you because you're so amazing, okay? Because you've been imputed with righteousness from on high. This is why the world has to get rid of churches, because churches are where people really bask in the sunlight of eternity. And they have their eyes on the prize and they just go about their lives trying to be good citizens while we're down here, because we want everybody else to be blessed and get in on this blessing too. So we want to be made a blessing. We make the best citizens. Unless you want to control everybody. Tell us we can't worship God and tell us we all need to kind of toe the line for socialism and fascism and Nazism or whatever. All these isms that should have been wasms a long time ago, but they're not. They're still here because man's heart's still evil and man wants control. He says you're a holy nation. He says you're a peculiar people. Now, this word is very interesting. It's often made a joke of because, yeah, God's people can sometimes be, in an English term, peculiar. That's not what this means. This actually has the idea of being purchased by God for himself to make something out of. Think of a mafia depiction. They talk about a made man. See, he purchased us to make us into something. So basically, we're made men and women. And we're on site made. That's what's being said in that word. You may recall the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, if you have any question about that. It says, lest any man should boast. If we're all sitting around thinking, wow, I've got more works than they've got, that's silly. Because you're not them. You have no idea what they've dealt with. You've just been dealing with your stuff. So you just kind of keep your eyes on Jesus. It'll be all right. No boasting here. Can't be, right? So he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, for we are his workmanship. He's making us. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Very interesting. We are made people. We are made for a purpose. And when you read about that, you think, man, a made man, I'm a made person. That means you have inside track with God. You know, it's like in the mafia, if I can use that for a minute further. Those people had to do certain things. They were let in on secrets. And, you know, they were allowed to have certain privileges. Other people around them had to quiver and quake. You know, the devils quiver and quake at the mention of a true practicing saint of God. The mention of their name. You remember the sons of Sceva? We adjure you to come out of this man, you know, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. What did he say? Jesus I know, the devil said, and Paul I know. I wonder if he knows your name. And I wonder what he thinks when he knows my name. I wonder if he snickers or if he kind of gets a little bristly and says, let's talk about something else. There's something going on over there. You want to be the guy that makes him nervous. The devil can only do so much. The Bible says that he that's born of God keepeth himself, and the devil touches him not. He can't cling to him. It's like kindling a fire on you. That's in 1 John chapter 5. You and I have been given authority over snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, if you want to know what they are. You see, there was a transformation. This is why the devil's talked about as a dragon. He's made to go on his belly. You say, well, does he say? No, it means basically that we will forever remember him as an icky thing, as a yuck, gross thing. I mean, think about what we remember when we think of the devil. Now, for people who don't know their Bibles, they're thinking about a little guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a tail. And that's mythology, Pan and all those things. No, that's not the devil. Now, he can transform himself, though, right? We've been told, don't you put your guard down, because he can transform himself into an angel of light. And we've got a lot of people on TV now masquerading as ministers of righteousness, but not so much. Not talking to you about Jesus, not talking to you about his second coming, not talking about his kingdom, but your kingdom. Our world is a mess now that we're down the road quite a ways, right? Because the market has been flooded with options. The devil decided he couldn't wipe out the church by a frontal attack immediately. So he joined the church. He joined the church, and that's just what Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, small seed, planted, becomes a good tree. And then what? Then the birds of the air come in and they start living in the tree leaves. Okay. So don't ever think it's safe down here. We're saved, but we're not safe. And when you see that you're a made man, you're made for a purpose. Our problem is we don't know our purpose. You know, the world say, you know, follow your heart. Well, if you follow your heart, you'll be in a ditch in a hurry. Okay, you can't follow your heart. It's not trustworthy. You don't even know your own heart. But what you do know is that if you keep your looks on Jesus by being in His Word routinely, He can keep you from the evil one. We pray that, don't we? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, sometimes He has to deliver us into kind of a harmful way. In 1 Peter, it talked about, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold trials. Okay, He allows us. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The Pope, not long ago, was saying he wanted to take that out. God would never lead us into trial. And he kind of forgot the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, he led Jesus right smack dab into the devil's playground, really, where he could get up in his mind. Deprivation from food and deprivation from interaction with people and serving. You know, those are things you need. Jesus, when he was serving, said he wasn't even hungry. I have meat to eat that you know not of. We don't realize that. You got to be investing yourself in somebody somewhere. It's your job. You're a priest. You're your own believer priest. And you can show your praises. Get out and do something for somebody. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And he's coming and you want to have something to give him. You know, you don't want to come in the back of the line and say, well, you know, I don't have much. Well, there was a minute there 10 years ago I did something, but, you know, I don't do anything anymore. I don't do anything. I just eat, sleep, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, eat. You know, it's like, oh, quiet desperation for many. Can't be that for the believer because of who you are. You're a made man. You're a made woman. And God made you like you are so that you can be exactly where you are at this point of time. So that you can do things nobody else can do but you, because you're the one who's there and you have exactly what you need. You've been fitted because God knows everything. The question becomes, am I going to pick it up? Am I going to take this job and execute, you know, my duty here in God's kingdom? Because he's doing something. I want you to see some things that I just mentioned out of Ephesians in chapter 2, where it talks about we're his workmanship. The Greek word is poieo. We get the word poem. You're not just a work in progress, you're a poem. Everything about your world is going to be talked about for eternity. What struggles, what wins, what losses? I mean, it's not going to be anything odious. It's going to be the thing that all made it happen. Somebody explained it once about all things work together for good to them that love God. The whole idea of if you take all the ingredients of a cake and you start eating some baking soda, yuck. Just give me the bowl of sugar, I'm good. No, got to have some flour, oof. But if you put it all together, right, it begins to... And what do you have to do? You have to apply some heat so that it can congeal. You see, you are somebody. I think sometimes we don't know that. I think our knowledge of who we are. You're loved by God. You know, somebody says God loves everybody. God loves the world so much that He gave His Son. But He's angry with the sinner every day. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. So don't mistake the fact that God loves the world so much He gave His Son, that He tolerates, that He accepts people who won't accept the remedy for their sin. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.